The prophecy of Jonah sets before us a very powerful picture of the gospel, of the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ, and of the fruit of that atonement in delivering sinners from the consequence of their sin. It sets before us the power of the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord, both in terms of that spoken and preached word of the gospel, and of the embodiment of the word of the Lord as it is in Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord, Christ, came into this world to save sinners. God spake through his Son, Jesus Christ. He spake in the beginning of time through Christ and formed this world and everything that is in it, and every man, woman, and child who has ever lived. God spake through the word, and all men lived. Mankind turned its back upon its maker. You and I, as with everyone else, have gone astray from God like sheep that go astray. We've shaken our fist in God's face. We've sought our own glory and our own way. And we've brought upon ourselves the wrath and the judgment of God because of our sin. Sin entered the world by one man, Adam, and death by sin. And everyone that has followed Adam has sinned in the same manner, and death has entered as a consequence. We reap what we sow. We've turned our back upon God. We've hated God and his ways. We've turned to our own things. And the consequence is sin in our heart, death reigning in our mortal members, and the ultimate judgment and sentence of Almighty God against our sin. We live our lives outside of Christ with a ticking by of time until that last hour of our life, that last moment when we take our last breath and we come under the final judgment of God. And if we know not Christ or his mercy or his salvation, then that judgment will be our utter destruction in eternity. That's the state of man in this world. But that world was created and brought into being by the word of the Lord. God spake by Christ and all things were created. And although mankind has sinned and gone away from God, God created this world knowing the end from the beginning, knowing what he would do with it, knowing what man would do with it. And his ultimate aim is to display his mercy, to display his grace in salvation. God's ultimate reason for the existence of this world and the existence of you and I is to send his Son, the Word of God, into this world in the fullness of time at the appointed hour to suffer and die in the place of sinners. God's ultimate aim was to send his Son as a sacrifice for sinners, as a sacrifice for his people, to deliver them from their sin, to deliver them from that which they wrought by their own disobedience, and to display his mercy and grace in washing them clean, in taking away their sin, and in taking away their sin by laying it upon his own Son and pouring the judgment that they deserved upon him in their place. And so the majesty of God is displayed in his grace in saving sinners. He shows unto this world that he is a God that delights in showing mercy, that he is a gracious God. And so in the prophecy of Jonah, we see how Jonah is sacrificed to deliver the people upon that ship from the tempest of the storm. He gives his own life and he goes into the belly of hell, into the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. He's cast out of the presence of God. He's put under the judgment of God. He, as it were, dies that others might live. And he's displayed unto us as a picture of Christ, the Word of God, the Word of the Lord, whom God sent into this world, his own Son, his only begotten Son. He sent his Son and he offered him as a sacrifice. He gave him up and his own Son went into the belly of hell for 3 days and 3 nights and felt the storms and tempests of God's wrath against sin upon him as he bore the sinner's judgment. Oh, what a powerful picture of the gospel. What a display of God's purpose in salvation. This is how he will save his people, by offering his own Son, through a substitute, by grace, through mercy. This is how he displays his love in contrast to the hatred of man, and his righteousness in contrast to the sin and iniquity of man. So the message of Jonah is a message of the Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord which brought this world into being. The Word of the Lord which was offered up in the person of Jesus Christ as a sacrifice. And then in chapters 3 and 4, we see the result, the fruit of this sacrifice, as the Word of the Lord goes forth in power in the preaching of the gospel to deliver the wicked city of Nineveh from the wrath and judgment of God. Jonah's sacrifice was not in vain. Jonah's death and burial and resurrection from the belly of hell had a purpose. And its purpose was to deliver sinners from their sin. Its purpose was to send the word of the Lord to Nineveh, to deliver the Ninevites. And we read of this in chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Now, this is a tremendous picture in this chapter of the impact of the word of the Lord, of the preaching of the gospel upon this wicked city of Nineveh. And this is to be seen in the context of what happened in chapters 1 and 2. Initially in chapter 1, God came unto Jonah and told him to go to Nineveh. He said, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he went into the ship, and a storm came upon the ship, and he was thrown overboard, and went into the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, and as it were died, was buried, and rose again." But here in chapter 3, having died, having been buried, having risen again, he sent to Nineveh again with the word of the Lord, and sent to preach unto it. And what he comes preaching is in the light of what's preceded. It's because of what happened in chapters 1 and 2 that this message has such an impact. When Jonah comes to Nineveh this time and preaches unto them, the people repent and they turn unto God and they cry unto God, hoping in his mercy. And God shows them mercy. But he shows them mercy because of what he's done in type and figure in Jonah, but in reality to his own son for them. It's because he's given his son as a sacrifice for their sin and judged their sin in another that he can deliver them. What Jonah comes preaching unto them is that God's wrath is kindled against their sin, that they will be overthrown unless they turn from their wicked ways. And naturally speaking, they would never turn. And naturally speaking, you would never turn. If I come to you and say that God is angry with your sin, and left in that sin you will perish in hell, the natural response of your heart and of my heart and of all men's heart is just to rage against it, or to shut our ears and say we don't want to know, and off we go in our stubborn, foolish way. Even though our conscience within us might say that this is true, we're so lost in our sin, we're so trapped in our sin that we cannot turn, that we cannot change, and we will not believe. But this people turn, they repent of their sin, and they cry out to God and cry out for his mercy. And the reason they turn is because God has already set his love upon them. He's already working in their hearts. He's sending the gospel unto them in such a way, with such power, that their hearts are turned, because he's prepared. He's offered the sacrifice in their place. Because he's poured out his wrath, as it were, upon his own son, but in type and figure upon Jonah already, he can show them mercy. They have been chosen of God unto mercy. This is an elect people, chosen of God. He sent Jonah to this people in particular. And he sent Jonah with the word of the Lord, in the light of the outworking of the gospel in the death of Jesus Christ. That ultimately is the message that comes to Nineveh. And if that message had gone straight to Nineveh in chapter 1, it might simply have been a message of condemnation that left them in their sin. The whole of this book is a display of the sovereignty of God and his outworking of salvation. Yes, Jonah, when he was first sent to Nineveh, fled from the presence of the Lord. But this was in God's sovereignty, such that he would be offered up as a sacrifice in a figure, such that when he comes with the message to Nineveh in chapter 3, it comes as a prepared message of the gospel. What he comes to Nineveh with in chapter 3 is a message built upon the fact of substitutionary atonement. God can forgive them because God has already poured out his wrath upon another. And therein lies the power of the gospel. But here we see the word of the Lord coming unto Jonah the second time. Christ himself, the speech of God, the gospel of Christ comes unto him, and it's sent to Nineveh, and he goes and he preaches there. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now even in these verses, we see the gospel. Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. To travel across this city would have taken 3 days. Now why is this mentioned? It's mentioned because it brings us back to that which we saw in chapters 1 and 2. That Jonah was in the belly of the fish, in the belly of hell, 3 days and 3 nights to deliver this people. There was a work which began at the cross in death, which went through the grave and burial in the belly of hell, and which concluded with resurrection. It took 3 days and 3 nights for Christ to deliver his people from their sin. It took 3 days and 3 nights to compass the whole of this city and the whole of the people within that city with the grace and salvation of God. God's work in Christ over those 3 days covered the sins of all the people, all his elect people, which are figured by the people of Nineveh and that great city. That great city was 3 days' journey from one side to the other. And God's grace and mercy in Jonah and in his son Jesus Christ, wrought in those 3 days and 3 nights, covered completely the sins of all his people. But when Jonah enters the city with his message, he begins to preach after a day's journey, 1 day. And on that day, he says, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The work of God in salvation in Christ upon the cross is one compassing 3 days. It compassed 3 days. On the first day, Christ died upon the cross. The judgment of God came down upon him. The penalty of the law was exacted upon him. The wrath of God came down upon him. On the second day, as it were, he's laid in the grave, dead and buried. And on the third day, he rises and comes forth from the grave victorious. But as Jonah comes into this city, he begins with what? He begins with the message that comes forth from that first day, from the judgment of God upon the cross. He comes and cries, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. After a day's journey, the message is the judgment and wrath of God against sin. That's where the gospel begins. The gospel concludes with the grace and forgiveness of God and the resurrection of Christ and his people victorious. God, having judged all sin at the cross, having finished the work, having buried it in the grave, brings his people forth victorious from the grave in Christ, without sin, righteous before a holy God. And the grace, love and mercy of God are displayed. But on the first day, in the hours of darkness upon the cross, We see the judgment, the wrath, the tempest and the storm of God against sin. And when the gospel comes unto you, if you ever hear it aright, that's where it begins. As it begins in Romans, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, against all your wickedness. There are those who will come with their watered down, easy believism gospel, where they come simply telling you about the love of Jesus for all men, the love of their Jesus, who loves all men and wants all men to be saved. And they don't tell you anything about sin, anything about death, anything about the reality of the situation in which you and I find ourselves as a consequence of what we have done and of what we are by nature. They make everything sound easy and fine. But the gospel starts with the wrath of God against our sin. It's that wrath that came down upon Jonah, as it were, in the fish, and upon Christ in the darkness at the cross. And that's where Jonah's preaching begins in Nineveh after a day's journey. He preaches that the city will be overthrown. God is angry with their sin. Repent and turn. And the alarm of that message is struck home to this people by the power of the Holy Ghost. And they do turn and they do repent. They do feel the wrath of God against them. They do see the consequence of where they are. They're struck to their heart. Like those of we read of in Acts, when the apostles came preaching the gospel, there were those who were struck in their heart. They were pierced in their heart. It came to them in power. They heard. And they heard because this message came in the light of the finished work of Jesus Christ. It didn't stop with a message of judgment. It went on to a message of salvation. They turned and cried out unto God in the hope that God would repent of his fierce anger and that they would perish not. They cried out to God for mercy. They had a hope of mercy. The natural instinct, outside of the work of God and outside of the power of the gospel, on hearing of God's wrath against sin, is just to rage against it or to shut the ear. And there are many who do. But when God sends his word like this in the light of the gospel, through his Son, through the word of God, then it has a different impact. This is why the people react in this way. They turned and they cried out unto God and he heard them. He heard them. God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Because God knew that the wrath which was due unto them had been poured out, as it were, upon the substitute, upon Jonah, upon Christ. So he could forgive them, and he could show them grace, and he could show them mercy. And if God comes unto you in the gospel and has chosen you from before the foundation of the world and has laid your sins upon Christ, then when he comes unto you, though the gospel might begin by making known unto you the wrath of God against your sin, it will go on to reveal a Saviour. It will go on to reveal a Jonah who went into the belly of hell for your soul. It will go on to reveal the grace and mercy of God in judging his own Son in your place. Have you heard that gospel? What has the reaction of your heart been to it? Have you turned against it? Have you run away from it? Have you raged against it? Have you tried to shut your ears and wish you were somewhere else? Or has God spoken unto your soul like he did unto the Ninevites and caused you to cry out for mercy? Has he given you a hope of mercy because you've heard of a Saviour? You've heard of one who's gone to the belly of hell for sinners. You've heard of one who's been sacrificed. Here came Jonah unto them. And this man who preached unto them had been sacrificed for them. God sent his word unto them. He sent, as it were, Christ unto them and displays Christ and says, I've given my son for you, that you should be spared this judgment. That you should be spared this judgment. But what is Jonah's reaction in this prophecy to this turn of events? When this comes about, we read in chapter 4, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah, rather than rejoicing in the impact of the gospel upon the Ninevites and the fruit of it, is angry. He's angry. And here we see how we as men can react to the things of God and their application against sinners. Jonah was initially sent of God to go to Nineveh. And Jonah knew that that nation was a wicked nation. And he knew that God was sending him with a message to cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah knew that God is a gracious God. O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. He knew that God was a gracious God. And though God sent him to Nineveh to preach against it and to declare the wrath of God against their sin, and the impending judgment of God against their sin, Jonah knew that ultimately God is a gracious God who would deliver them. And he didn't want to go and preach that message of judgment when he knew that ultimately God might spare them. Here we see some of the confusion in Jonah's mind. There is a part of Jonah who, like many, and like many Christians at times can be, who can see the wickedness of man and be indignant against it and feel it's wrong and feel it should stop and speak out against it and then be annoyed if people are forgiven and don't pay the price that they should pay. There at times is this war between the reality of grace and our legal judgmental instinct against sinners. So there is that in Jonah which felt that the Ninevites deserved to be judged. And yet at the same time he knew that God would be gracious. But there was also that in Jonah that knew that he would be saying unto the Ninevites that the wrath of God is kindled against them. But ultimately God might spare them. He's torn in two. And therefore he runs away. Because he knows that God is a gracious God. A merciful God. And he feels angry. And how many of us can feel angry when we look at the darkness and the evil of the world around us and what goes on and what seems to be allowed to go on. And yet this world around us is wicked, just as we by nature are wicked. The greatest acts of sin you see in the world around you, believer, the greatest sinners you see in the world around you are no more sinful than you are. And if God has showed you mercy, might he not show others mercy? And if God has forgiven you and spared you, might he not spare them? What is your reaction to the wickedness around you when you look upon a wicked Nineveh in which you live? What's your reaction? Do you rail against the wickedness? Do you feel the people should be condemned? Or do you want them to hear the gospel and be spared and delivered? Jonah's reaction is that he's torn. Torn between a righteous view of the judgment of God against sin, but a knowledge that his God is gracious. He also knows from what happened on his way to Nineveh in the fish, that as it were for them to be delivered, he must die. He sacrificed in type and figure for them. Their life comes at his expense. And Christ knew when he came into this world to save his people that he could only deliver them if he died. He must die. But God gives us a great message in response to Jonah's confusion. And in response to the legal heart of men who would condemn that which is wrong and seek to see judgment come down, God displays his gospel and his grace. He says unto Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry?" So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." And God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry even unto death." Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not laboured, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" So God's reaction to Jonah's reaction is to show him the reason for his grace. Jonah sat and watched what would become of the city. And God gave him this gourd to keep the sun away from him. But then God sent a worm which smote the gourd and it withered away. And Jonah was angry that the gourd was destroyed, because the gourd had been something which eased him, which delivered him from his grief, something he loved. And then here comes this worm and destroys it, and he's angry about it. Here he is fainting in the sun without this gourd and suffering. And God says unto him, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for which thou hast not laboured, neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city? Jonah never made the gourd. It was a gift given to him. Yet he was angry when it was destroyed. But God made Nineveh and all the people therein. And whatever wickedness that people may have turned to, whatever they may have done, however rebellious they may have been, however just their judgment might be, however right it might be for God to pour down his wrath and destroy them for what they had done, nevertheless, God made them. They were his creation. Jonah hadn't labored for the gourd, but God did. God created this world. He created every living creature and every person therein. Is it not up to God if he shows mercy and spares? Oh, you may look upon the wicked and say, well, look at what they're doing. They deserve this. They deserve to be judged. But has God not shown you mercy, believer? And can he not show another mercy? You didn't know what you were doing. In the folly of your sin, you went this way and that way, and you could not discern the truth, and you could not walk aright, and you would not turn unto God and follow him. You went around in your own wisdom, which is the foolishness of man, and you went astray. And if God showed you mercy, it was in spite of all that you did and all that you fought and all that you strove to be. You went your own way, hating God and glorifying yourself. And yet God showed you mercy. And if God shows anyone mercy, if you, O sinner, are shown mercy this day, it won't be because of any wisdom in you or any good in you or any right decision in you, but because God set his love upon you. God made you in the beginning. You turned aside from him and went your own way. But if God chooses to show you mercy, he will show you mercy. This people in Nineveh could not discern between their right hand and their left. They were foolish children of wrath. Like sheep they'd gone astray, bumbling about, turning to their right hand and the left hand, not knowing where they're going. Not knowing where they're going. They went astray. And God showed them mercy. And oh, how like us they are. We've all gone astray. None of us can discern between our right hand and our left hand. However great we think we are, however wise we think we are, ultimately we're fools. We've foolishly gone astray from God. We've foolishly sought our own things and our own ways. We don't know what we're doing. And this world of people that didn't know what it was doing, when God sent his son into it, they took his own son and they crucified him. And they thought they were doing God's service. The Jews, when Christ came to him, rejected him. And they thought they were doing the right thing in putting this man to death. They couldn't discern between their right hand and their left. And they took God's own son and slew him. And what did Christ say upon the cross when they did that? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. There's the grace of God. There's the grace of God. There's the love and the mercy of God. There's the heart of God that he can look upon the most wicked people who took his son and put his son to death. And God in Christ could look upon them and say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Should not I spare Nineveh, that great city where are more than 70,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand? Oh, what a reaction to this wicked world and that wicked city. Oh, what a display of the heart of a God that delights in showing mercy. Jonah knew that God is a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness. What's your reaction to the world around you? The darkness and evil of men around you, the sin you see, the wicked laws that are passed, the brazen display of sin upon our streets. Yes, there's a righteous indignation. There's a reaction of the law to these things. A just hatred of sin. These things should not be. And God's wrath from heaven is rightly kindled against them. But at the same time, God sent his son into this world to save sinners. And of such are some of you. When you look upon the wickedness, remember, believer, you were just like them. You did not know what you did. You could not discern between your right hand and your left hand. You were sinning as greatly as they are. And God showed you grace and mercy in the gospel. Oh, that our reaction might be that which comes from grace. That which comes as those who've been forgiven. Forgive others, even as ye have been forgiven. Oh, that we might look upon the world around us the way God looks, by grace, as a world ripe for the gospel, as a world that needs to hear the gospel, as a world that needs the gospel and the preachers of the gospel to go into the great city of this world and to go in a day's journey and preach against their sin, but to carry on and preach Christ and his death and his resurrection. To point to people and say, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold my son, hear him. Yes, Nineveh was wicked. Yes, it deserved to be destroyed. But the message of this book of Jonah is a message of grace, of substitution, of God's justice being poured down upon another. God didn't just turn a blind eye to the sin of Nineveh. He didn't just let it go. He judged it. But he judged it in his Son. And when we preach the gospel in this wicked world, if any hear and believe, God hasn't turned a blind eye to their sin. But it's judged in Christ. As it was, believer, for you. It's judged in Christ. It's been blotted out. Every sin has been taken away. When Christ in the darkness suffered, he took away every sin, every transgression, all rebellion, all unbelief. And he cried out at the end of the suffering, "It is finished." Out of the belly of hell he cried to his Father, and his Father heard him, and his faith was rewarded, because having blotted out all the sins of this people of Nineveh, of this wicked world around, of the people of God in this world, of all the chosen elect of God, of all the chosen election of grace, having blotted out every sin of every one that God chose to judge in Christ, Christ laid down his life and was laid in the grave. And on the third day, he rose victorious from the grave, and all that people rose with him. And they came forth victorious, forgiven, washed, cleansed in the blood of God. And they could say with Jonah, "I know that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, because thou hast given thy Son for me, because he was plunged into the belly of hell for me. He came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He saved me because he loved me." Do you do well to be angry? Do you look around at the sin of this world? Are you right to be angry? Yes. It's a wicked world. But God sent his Son to deliver his people from their sins. Oh, how thankful we should be that he sent the word of the Lord to us if we believe. And if we've not heard, how thankful we should be if he sends it to us. How thankful we should be if he sends a preacher with this message to us this day. Oh, turn from your sin and see if the Lord will repent. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Oh, sinner, call unto God for mercy. Who can tell if he will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger against your sin, that you perish not, because he laid it upon Christ for you? Did he do that for you? Cry out unto God and see, for this is a God who delights in showing mercy. Oh, that God would send a Jonah to the Ninevehs of today and deliver them and us from their folly. Oh, that he would send this message into your soul, the word of the Lord, that you might know that the God that spake it, the God that wrought it, the God that sends it, is a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. Amen.